Just one thing that I don't know if you announced this or not, but you know, last week we mentioned that our pastor in Nepal, our connection there in Nepal, had passed away, and we were praying that that ministry would continue even through all this COVID and everything going on. He was planting churches, raising up churches, building churches, and so we were praying that that ministry would continue. And we got word this week from his son that the board got together and they are going to continue. He had a powerful ministry there in Nepal, and so we're grateful for that. So you may get to Nepal anyway, Ralph. All right. So you know, this is Memorial Day weekend. This is an exciting time. Always for us. We don't always have a great crowd turnout on holidays, but this is, you know, people are with families doing all kinds of things. But it's an important weekend. Could you put the picture for Memorial Day weekend up there, Joanne? Yeah, it's a time to remember the sacrifice. You know, I love Memorial Day weekend. It's a 3-day weekend, right? You know, as an extra day off. It's time where people can get together and can just spend time, you know, with their family, you know, picnics, barbecues, whatever's going on. But it's a time also to honor those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for us to have the freedoms that we have. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together, to exalt you, to praise you, Father, to thank you for moving in the hearts of people in this nation to stand up and fight for it. And so, Father, we thank you for the awesome freedoms that we do have. We give you honor. We give you praise. But we also know, Father, that freedom comes at a cost. It's not free. But Father, we want to honor you today. We take this time to honor you, and we honor those who have sacrificed greatly for this nation. Father, we just give you praise and honor today in Jesus' mighty name. You know, today is, this is Memorial Day weekend. You know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it's a federal holiday, so a lot of federal buildings are going to be closed. Even a lot of businesses, you know, banks, you know, post office, those places are going to be closed. Memorial Day is observed on the last Monday in May. It's not to be confused with Veterans Day. Veterans Day honors men and women who are currently serving or who have served in our country. Memorial Day is primarily to honor those who lost their life while serving this country. And so, you know, we were talking about that back in the prayer room a little bit. You know, we got a lot of problems in this nation, but I firmly believe we're in the best nation on the planet. God ordained this nation. And so I believe he moved on the hearts of many men and women to stand up and fight for our nation, to fight for the freedoms that we all enjoy. And so it's just a privilege to be able to take some time in our messages to focus on some of the history of this time. You know, we take simple freedoms for granted. Just this past week, my husband had coupons for Shady Maple Smorgasbord. He had coupons. You know, I have a very thrifty husband, and so he had coupons for Shady Maple, and we went down to Shady Maple for breakfast. They were for breakfast. We don't normally go to breakfast, but he had coupons for that, so there we were, and it was so wonderful to hear the hostess say, "You don't have to wear masks today. You don't have to wear gloves." They did that during COVID, masks and gloves. But the hostess was saying, you don't have to do it. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. You know, it was so freeing to take that mask off We still wore the gloves because, you know, we kind of think that that's a good hygiene thing, you know, when you're going to a buffet where all the hands have touched all the spoons, you know. So we donned the gloves, but we stripped those masks off, and it was freeing. It was so freeing. Freedom must be preserved. It must be protected. It's precious. Freedom is precious. I want to invite you all to jot down this date in your calendar. You may be able to remember it pretty easily, but it is July 4th, 2021. Something very unique is going to be happening, a special event that day. We're going to have a special guest speaker in this pulpit. And that special guest speaker is none other than my husband, Gary Butz.
Wow.
He will be July 4th. I know a lot of people go away, they have picnics, they do things with their family, but I would really encourage you to come to the church or to tune in over your videos or cameras or however. And Gary is going to be giving a very powerful message about our freedoms, how we got them, where they came from, what's going on right now to try to take away those freedoms. You will get a history lesson, a true history lesson, one that you may have never heard in your classroom. I've been married to my husband almost 36 years, and I know what he's passionate about. I know what makes him tick. He's passionate about our Lord. He's passionate about truth. He's passionate about history. A biblical history and our nation's history. And he's passionate about our nation's future. So I would advise, I would recommend, I would highly invite you to be here on July 4th. I live with the guy. He spends a lot of time studying. So we can glean from his devotion time on that July 4th. You know, it is for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. And it is for freedom that God established the United States of America. And he has moved on the hearts of men and women to stand up for our nation. You know, that freedom, it cost a lot of lives. Freedom is not free. It costs. It comes at a high cost. We need to preserve our freedom. You know, somebody pays for it. On Memorial Day, we want to honor and remember those who gave their lives for this country. So today is going to be a little bit of a history lesson. Also, Memorial Day. You know, with so many in this woke culture trying to tear down our nation's history or try to rewrite it with fabrication, I believe it's important that we stand on the truth. We remember, our roots. We remember what happened in our nation. And so Memorial Day weekend is a time just set aside to honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And so I'm going to give you a few things here about Memorial Day. It began a few years after the Civil War, actually in 1868. A group of Union veterans established a holiday as a time to decorate the fallen, those who fell during the Civil War, those who fell during that war. They would decorate those grave sites with flowers. These are the Union soldiers, Union veterans. They may have gotten the idea, though, from a lot of our citizens. There were a lot of deaths during that Civil War. And they may have gotten the idea from the citizens who took flowers to the graves of those who fell during that war. Although the holiday began as a way to honor soldiers that died during the Civil War, today it includes all veterans who have sacrificed their life for our nation, those who have paid the ultimate price. In 1971, Memorial Day was established as a federal holiday. And then in the year 2000, our Congress passed the National Moment of Remembrance Act that encourages all Americans on Memorial Day to set aside at 3 o'clock moments of silence to honor those who have lost their lives protecting this nation, protecting our freedoms that we have. During that 3 o'clock moment of remembrance on Memorial Day, it's reported that the Amtrak conductors sound one long whistle in honor of those who have given their lives for this country. Traditionally, American presidents will give speeches on Memorial Day at the Arlington National Cemetery, especially at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and they'll place a wreath there. We'll see that most likely tomorrow. And you know, many people will visit. They'll visit cemeteries. They'll visit memorials to give honor to those who have died. Some volunteers will place American flags on cemeteries at the gravesite. Gary and I do a lot of walking around, and we recently walked through a local cemetery, and we noticed that every veteran had a new American flag. It wasn't tattered, they were all new. On this special weekend, we might see parades, we might see special speeches, we might have special religious services for the holiday. It's to give honor to those who have paid a very high price for the freedoms that we have. And so I know, you know, we're not going to be together tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But I thought today, at this time right now, we might take some time to honor those who have fallen, who have given the ultimate sacrifice for us to enjoy the freedoms that we have. Very moving to me, very moving. Our freedoms are not free. They came at a very high cost. Does anyone in here have any relatives that lost their life preserving our freedoms? Anyone in here? Yeah, you guys? And who might that be in your family?
We have both a witcher in Danville, Virginia, was the first to fall in Vietnam War.
Wow.
And then my mother's brother was killed as a police officer.
Wow. Wow. Anyone else? Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these brave men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. Thank you, Father, for moving on their hearts, Lord, to stand up for truth, to stand up for freedom, to stand up for this nation that you have ordained. We honor each one, Lord God. Many families have been affected. We thank you for this opportunity, this Memorial Day that is set aside, that we can honor these people, your servants. So we thank you, Father. We ask you to continue to bless this great nation. We thank you for a future, a continued future of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, there is a person that you probably don't know, maybe never heard of him, but there's a person who is very largely responsible for this holiday. His name is John Alexander Logan. Can you bring that picture up, Joanne? This is General John Alexander Logan. He was born in 1826 in Jackson County, Illinois, and he died 60 years later, 1886, in Washington, D.C. John Logan was a United States politician. He was a Union general during the American Civil War, and he played a pivotal role in the establishment of our Memorial Day. Even our own resident historian, Gary Butts, never heard of John Logan. So it's a bit of a history lesson today, but this man, he had a very interesting life and played a pivotal part in this holiday that we're celebrating. So I just want to share a little bit about this man. John Logan served in both the House of Representatives and the Senate, and he was a candidate for Vice President of the United States. He was the son of a prominent former slave owner, and his father was a physician, he was a doctor, and he was also a state legislator. His father owned thoroughbreds, and John worked as a jockey in his youth, racing those thoroughbreds in several states. He went to college and law school. He was very active in our military. He entered the Mexican-American War as second lieutenant in the 1st Illinois Infantry. He acted for a time as county clerk for Jackson County in Illinois. He received his law degree from the University of Louisville in Kentucky. He won a four-year term as Illinois' prosecuting attorney after he was admitted to the bar. He won the election to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1858 and in 1860 as a Democrat at the beginning of the Civil War. John Logan, he attempted to maintain a neutral stance in the beginning of those beginning months of the Civil War, but then he entered the Union Army as a colonel in the 31st Illinois Infantry, which he had organized from his congressional district. He served under General Ulysses Grant. He was wounded at the Battle of Fort Donelson. That was 1862. After he recuperated from that, he was then promoted to Brigadier General in March of that year, and he resigned his congressional seat so that he could function in that capacity. Later, Logan served as Major General in charge of a division of the 17th Corps of Grant's Army in Tennessee. This guy was all over the place. During the Vicksburg Campaign of 1863, Logan was successful with several of the Union victories. Grant awarded Logan the honor of leading the first Union troops into the capital city of the captured city of Vicksburg on July 4th, at the end of that campaign. He served in Major General William Sherman's military division in Mississippi. They won the battle at Dallas, Georgia. He became commander of that army of Tennessee. He had many successes in battles fighting for the North. Then in response to special orders that came out of Washington, Logan was temporarily released from the army to campaign in Illinois for President Lincoln's reelection. This guy had a very interesting life. He returned then to command the 15th Corps in January of 1865, and he participated in the victories there in the Carolinas. Because of this man's dedication, because of his service, Grant wanted to make Logan the Brigadier General of the United States Army after the Civil War. But Logan declined so that he could return to politics. This time, he returned as a Republican, and he became an advocate for civil rights for African Americans. He won three more elections to the United States of House of Representatives. He served as the chair for the Ways and Means Committee and also for the Military Affairs Committee. He was one of the seven impeachment managers in the trial of President Andrew Jackson. That was in 1868. Andrew Johnson. He also served as the commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. He was the commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was an organization of Union Army veterans. Those were the Union veterans that that were going to the graves of the deceased people in the Civil War, putting flowers on their grave. So this is the organization, and they put Logan in charge of this organization, and he used he was there for several terms. He used his political and his military career to organize a multi-regional grave decorating ceremonies, and that day was called Decoration Day. And so Decoration Day was celebrated every May 30th from 1868 to 1971. So that was 103 years. It's over a century that these graves were being decorated. And in 1971, Decoration Day was observed as Memorial Day. And that was that's the last Monday in May. Logan later won three United States Senate elections. In 1884, he was the vice presidential candidate he was on the Republican ticket. The gentleman who was running for president at that time was James G. Blaine, Logan was running as the vice president. They lost to Grover Cleveland by less than 1% of the votes. Logan was widely considered that he would be the 23rd president of our United States. but he succumbed to the effects of rheumatism and he died there on December 26, 1886. He was honored as only the seventh person to lie in the state at the Capitol Rotunda. He was being honored, you know, for his service to our country. And he was honored across the United States with five statues. And a fort in Colorado is named after him. A museum and a college were named after him in southern Illinois. And he is one of only three of the names that are mentioned in the state song of Illinois. The other two being President Lincoln and Ulysses Grant. Many don't know this man or what part of history he played. He was very influential in organizing and establishing the Decoration Day, which ultimately came to be known as we know it today as Memorial Day. So he used his military career, he used his political career to bring that about. And now you know the rest of the story. So I shared all that to say this. John Logan is virtually unknown. When I mentioned his name to Gary, he didn't recognize the name either. Yet, he had an important part to play in our history and why we celebrate this holiday. Very important part in establishing Memorial Day as a day to honor those who have sacrificed their life. Not to mention that he grew up in a home that had slaves. And he himself eventually changed his way of thinking, you know, how he was brought up, and he began fighting for the North. During that Civil War. He was candidating for President Lincoln. He left the Democrat Party and joined the Republican Party. And he became an advocate for civil rights of African Americans. He just played a very interesting part, and nobody knows about him. But we're learning about him today. We have a rich history in this nation, and we didn't know it. We didn't know what our history is. You know, many today have no idea how their political party came about. There is so much ignorance in our country. They don't know how their political party originated. What we saw last summer, the riots. There's a lot of ignorance in our country. About 2 weeks ago, as I was beginning this message series, you know, that we have, recasting the vision of Word of Life Church. We've been recasting the vision where Word of Life Church started. How did we come to be? How did it all come about? Where are we going? And so why we're here? And I began 2 weeks ago, I began the message sharing a word that Andrew Womack had received from God recently. In this crazy time that we're facing, he said that God revealed to him that our nation is experiencing a third great awakening. Do you remember me saying that? That was 2 weeks ago when I started that series, and Andrew was startled. God told him, "It isn't coming. It's already here. It's already started." And so, God has placed Word of Life Church here at this time. Interesting. But you might say, you know, well, where is this third great awakening? I don't see it. You know, I see a lot of division in the country. I see a lot of immorality. I see a lot of division in politics, in the church. I see a lot of, things going on, people doing whatever they feel like doing. And so there are a lot of things going on in our country today. But you know, there were a lot of similar things going on in that first and second Great Awakening that we've had in our country. And so there was division in our country then, and there's division in our country now. There's division in our churches now. And you know what? The people that lived during those Great Awakenings didn't know that they were in a great awakening. They didn't know it. We needed the scholars, the historians, to come along and tell them what happened during that time. That's how we know what took place. The Great Awakenings usually lasted for decades. The first Great Awakening lasted from about 1730 to 1770. That's about 40 years. That's four decades. That's how long that first Great Awakening lasted. The second Great Awakening lasted from about 1801 to 1870. That's about 70 years. That's seven decades. That second Great Awakening, seven decades long. And what's interesting to note is how those Great Awakenings affected our nation. The first Great Awakening prepared our nation for the American Revolutionary War that we were in, what we fought for our independence from Great Britain. And Great Britain at that time was the strongest nation on the planet. There were approximately 25,000 American soldiers who died during that war. Many died while in battle. They were killed in action. Some were taken prisoner of war, some through disease. There were an additional 25,000 that were wounded during that American Revolution. And during that time, 45% of our colonists supported the war. 45%. There were 20% of the colonists who chose to remain faithful to Great Britain. And others didn't care one way or the other. But there was division in our nation. There was division at that time during that first Great Awakening. And then the second Great Awakening prepared our nation for the Civil War, where our nation experienced decades of tension between the North, the South, over slavery, over states' rights, over expansion into the western part of our country. There were 620,000 of our soldiers that were killed during the Civil War. 620,000.